All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, for the message this morning. I'm going to read a rather lengthy section of this chapter, the middle part of the chapter for you, and so you get the context, the Lord has resurrected from the grave, and the ladies came. They had prepared some spices, and we're going to put the spices on our Lord's body, which was common practice. And when they got to the grave, they saw that the stone had been rolled away and that the Lord was not there. And so I want to then from the women, verse 13 tells us the story of how the Lord resurrected, met with the two disciples who were headed home from Jerusalem. Emmaus was a little town they lived in, little village. It was about 7.5 miles away from Jerusalem. And so as they left Jerusalem, where they were with the disciples, they made the trek to Emmaus, and we are told that the Lord Jesus joined himself. He hid himself from them at first, but then revealed himself later. But this is the account, and it's rather lengthy, but I'm going to read all of it for you. Starts in verse 13. And you follow along in your Bible as I read. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." So they're having a conversation among themselves about the crucifixion, probably even before that, the arrest of Christ in the garden, and then his torture and the brutality that was done against him through the night by the Sanhedrin, the crucifixion the next morning, the 3 days that he was in the tomb, the resurrection. They're talking about all this. In verse 15, and it says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself." You know, there are some situations where only Jesus himself will do. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" What are you guys talking about that has made you so sad? You know, he knew that they were sad as a result of all that had taken place. In verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at his sepulcher." That's the story in the first part of this chapter. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he is alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, so now Jesus is speaking to these two men, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, now think about this, folks, as they're walking along, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. All right, now look at me. Starting with Genesis and going through Malachi, maybe even John at the end of the New Testament. Starting at Genesis and going through the Bible, Jesus expounded all the scriptures, all the prophecies to these men as they related to him being the fulfillment of those prophecies. Now, would you just think about that for a minute? Would you not want the Lord Jesus to explain Isaiah 53 to you? Psalm 22 to you? Oh, my. So the Lord is expounding all the scriptures in the things concerning himself. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, excuse me, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now, if you will go back to verse 32, they looked at one another after the Lord vanished from their sight. They're still in their house, and they look at one another, and they said, did not our heart burn within us? I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, Having a Burning Heart. Having a Burning Heart. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us and end the message. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we have a Bible, the eternal Word of the living God. And Father, I'm thankful that we don't have to come and just listen to what I think, but we can open the Bible and hear what thus saith the Lord. And I pray that you will bless the message and stir our hearts this morning. Lord, light a fire in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel, for the truth of thy word. Give us a burdened heart to want to serve you and do your will in our lives. And Father, I pray you'll fill me with the Spirit of God this morning and help me as I preach and give folks ears to hear. Bless each one as they listen. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name and amen. This passage of Scripture that I just read for you is one of the most inspiring stories that has ever been told. It has lived in the imagination of Christians since Luke recorded it for us and put it in the Bible. How many times have you read this chapter and imagined yourself as one of these fortunate two who had the blessed privilege of hearing the Lord Jesus Christ Himself open the Scriptures and explain the Scriptures as they related to Him, showing how He was the fulfillment of every prophecy, of every passage of Scripture that they had ever heard and known as they were kids and growing up, now to become adults, and then to have the Lord Jesus speak to you and show you how that all of those prophecies were about Him. Imagine the three walking into the house. Imagine them sitting down at a table to eat a meal, hearing this unbelievable explanation and application of the Old Testament Scriptures. And then suddenly your eyes were opened and you recognized that the guest you have been entertaining was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Man, what an experience that would have been. And then just as suddenly as you recognized that it was the Lord Jesus, He was gone. It's no wonder that these men got up from the table and came running into the city to tell the disciples what had just happened to them. How could anybody possibly keep that information to themselves? I wouldn't have been able to sleep that night, would you? And so up out of their house they came, went the 7.5 miles back to Jerusalem and told the disciples what had happened unto them. I'll guarantee you, folks, had you had this experience, there is no way you could have kept it to yourself. You would have been just like them. You would have had to go and tell somebody. And I want you to notice now in verse 32. And notice that these men said that their hearts did burn within them while they walked in the way as He opened the Scriptures to their understanding. I would like to speak to you this morning on the subject of having a burning heart. These guys' hearts were on fire as a result of what happened in this passage. You know, there are a lot of things that can get our hearts burning within us. We can get all fired up over a sports team. We can get all fired up over politics or over some kind of an injustice that takes place. We can have some political decision that is made in Annapolis or that is made in Washington, D.C. that affects our lives. And when we hear the decision and we sit there and wonder what ideological sense does this make, we will sit there and think to ourselves, what constitutional sense does this make? And before you know it, we're all fired up. We're all on fire and exclaiming our disbelief at the ridiculous decisions that are being made. So there's a lot of things that can create a burning heart within us. I thank the Lord that there are some folks, and thank God for them, who can get a burning heart over the things of the Lord. Yesterday, right around noon, I was sitting trying to nurse this cold a little bit, and my phone went off, and I looked down. It was a text message from Don Frazier, and he was informing me that to that moment, they had had 18 people saved over at the Ag Center. And I just said, amen, praise the Lord. You know, it's good that we can sometimes get a little fired up over the things of God. And so I got excited about that. It's good when you see folks living cross. That always just thrills my soul. There's nothing that that thrills me as a pastor than to seeing folks on fire for the Lord. And you see all these folks that come and sacrifice a whole week in order to present the living cross here at our church. And you see all the hundreds of people that will come and hear the gospel and receive Christ as their Savior. I'm telling you, folks, that will thrill your soul. So I think that we can have a burning heart for the Lord. We have burning hearts about everything else. Why not have a burning heart over the things of God? And so I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of having a burning heart. There's just a couple of things I want you to see here this morning. Number one, I want you to think about it. A burning heart, when you look back through history, a burning heart has been one of the distinctive marks of Christianity. When you just think about it, a burning heart has been one of the distinctive marks of Christianity. One thing is for sure about Bible Christianity. It impacts the whole being of an individual who puts his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been at this long enough. And we have seen how the gospel, when it is believed, we have seen how the gospel changes that believer's behavior. We've seen folks change. I've said this before, and trust me, it's true. In a lot of cases, if you knew the person that you smiled at and shook hands with this morning, if you knew what they were before they were saved, you might have thought twice about shaking their hand this morning. All right, but the gospel changes people. It makes new creatures in Christ. We have seen how when the gospel is believed, it changes the believer's behavior. We've noticed how the gospel changes a person's philosophy, their moral philosophy. And we have seen how it quickens and how it expands the intellect. But the gospel is so much more than just philosophical or intellectual in its purpose. The deepest appeal of the gospel of Jesus Christ is always directed at the heart. You see, folks, God is shooting at your heart. A burning and overflowing heart is always the end result of the gospel's intent. It does not begin with the brightening of the intellect. It begins with the burning of the heart. Paul said it this way. He said, "The love of God, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." You see, the gospel touches what is deepest and truest in us by the power of God's love, and He does that by touching the heart. You see, folks, the wisest man that ever lived said this: "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." He didn't say as a man thinketh in his mind. He did not say as a man thinketh in his will. No, he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For you see, if you can get something from your head to your heart, it'll stick with you. It'll stick with you. And so it begins with a burning heart. And when these men in our text heard the truth, and by the way, the truth will set you free. Free what? Free to serve the Lord. Free to live for God. The truth will set you free. And when these men heard the truth coming from the lips of the Savior, truth was something they could wrap their hearts around. So when they heard the words of truth, it created in them a burning heart. And this burning heart is so needed. Folks, listen, go back with me for just a moment. Go back to the early church. Go back for just a moment to the book of Acts. This, a burning heart is what the book of Acts is all about. I mean, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Silvanus and John and Mark, all of these men went out from Jerusalem into the uttermost parts of the earth. And they led people to Christ, and they established churches and spread the gospel. And what motivated these men to do that? I'll tell you what it was. It was a burning heart. They saw the truth, and the truth created in them a burning heart. When men got the truth of God in their hearts, it didn't matter what the devil threw at them, they kept marching on for God. They braved dangerous seas. They endured rotting in jail cells. They faced threats, but yet kept preaching. They handled stoning and beheadings without fear. How can you do that? It begins with a burning heart. From the beginning of the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the tongues fell down upon them as fire, all the way through to the end of the book, we hear it echo over and over and over the words of our text. Did not our hearts burn within us? Now, folks, listen. Don't let the devil put the fire out that's burning in your heart. Don't let him do it. The reason the gospel spread from Jerusalem into the uttermost parts of the earth is because these folks all had a heart that burned with fire from heaven, which no amount of opposition and no amount of persecution could extinguish. And you know, I got to thinking about it, and I think this defines what has happened to our country in the last century. I really think this is what's wrong with America today. You say, Pastor, what's that? One great change has overtaken our culture in the last 100 years. And in a simple way of stating it, here it is. America has lost her burning heart for the truth of God. That's what's wrong with our nation today. We have allowed compromising churches. We have allowed corrupt politicians. We have allowed a conquering devil to sneak in and put the fire out of our hearts. And oh, how slick the devil is. How he moves and how he works. And many times an unsuspecting a Christian population doesn't even realize what the devil's doing. Let me give you an example of that. Do you see what he did this week? Do you see what he did this week? The news this week, it was on Monday or Tuesday. I mentioned it briefly Wednesday night. But the news this weekend, big story. I mean, it was on all the news. It was on Fox. It was on all the blogs and all the websites. And it was the story of the day. You know, every day has its own story. Well, this was the story of the day one day earlier in the week. And the big story was this. They have now proved that the Big Bang Theory is correct. How about that? They proved that it was correct. Yeah. I mean, they looked at some pictures that were sent back by a telescope with a camera on it. And this camera had taken some pictures of the universe. And they saw some space dust. Space dust. Are you listening? Space dust. They saw some space dust taken by a satellite, and they decided, well, this is it. This right here is it. This proves it. They looked at some pictures of some space dust, and they came to the conclusion, well, there you go. That proves that God did not create the universe. There is no God. This proves that the universe was created by a big bang millions of years ago. Now, I don't know who to contact, but I'd like to contact somebody and say, hey, you guys have got it all wrong. The big bang did not happen in the beginning. The big bang is coming at the end. Read your Bible. I would love to be able to just let somebody know that. But here's the kicker, folks. When they presented the story, they reported it like, this is final. There is no need now to talk about this anymore. We've proven that there is no God and God didn't create the world. So it's over with. That settles it. And we have space dust to prove it. Well, we don't have space dust to prove. We have pictures of space dust, and at least that's what they're calling what they took a picture of. And what happens, it's presented like, all right, there you go, folks. So all you people that believed in God, quit being ridiculous. This proves that there is no God. And they present it like it's fact, and you and I, like sheep following the shepherd, we're just supposed to go in the stall and behave ourselves, and we're not supposed to say anything about it. And what happens is that some weak Christian hears this, some worn down over time, discouraged Christian that doesn't read his Bible very much, will hear this and then throw up their hands and say, well, what's the use? And folks, I'm just here today to tell you, don't fall for that ruse. Don't let the devil put the fire out in your heart. That the devil, let me remind you, the Bible is very clear on this. He is a liar, always has been, always will be, and that case is closed. And it's closed because God said that he's a liar. So folks, the devil is trying to do all he can to pour cold water on your burning heart. And just because some PhD says something, that doesn't make it so. Now, if you want to believe the world's interpretation of all that, then you just have at it. But I'm going to believe what God says about it. And my Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm going to stick with that. That makes a whole lot more sense to me than anything else. You say, well, you're just old fashioned. Yes, I am. Well, you're just swallowing what the Bible says. Yes, I am. Hook, line, and sinker. I got the eye of the pole stuck in my mouth. But I'm going to believe God. Folks, the devil is out to affect the heart of this world. And what they want, what the devil wants, and what he's inspiring folks to do, he wants us to feel overwhelmed. They want us to feel inadequate. They want us to feel overpowered. And like we're in this little tiny small minority, and they want us to just kind of fade off the scene. How can you possibly believe the Bible when we have pictures of space dust? That's what they're saying. You poor fool, so deluded. Well, I'm a fool for Jesus if that's what it takes. And I'm not ashamed of it. And then the next thing you know, Christians everywhere are questioning the Bible. And they're questioning their own faith. Listen, folks, when Paul faced this same intellectualism in the early church, he wrote in the book of Romans and said this, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, are you going to believe the liars or are you going to believe God? I'm going to believe God. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to bring, I think if I remember, I'm going to do it tonight. But one of our church members sits right down here in the early service, is a printer. And he has a little poster, and he brought it to me. And I looked at it. It's amazing. On this poster are pictures of butterfly wings. Butterfly wings. And there is a butterfly. When God created the world, and when God made the butterflies, Amazingly, God put the English alphabet, every letter, on the wings of butterflies. Would you let that sink into you? And he printed a poster where this man went around the world and saw these butterflies, looking for these butterflies, and took a snapshot of them. And it's every letter of the English alphabet, and they are as clear as they can be. A to Z. Not only that, the numbers 1 to 9. And when you look at that butterfly, you see the English letter S. You see the English letter T. You see the English letter B. And every letter, God put it on the backs, not underneath, on the top. So that when man looked at it, he got familiar with the English alphabet. You say, why would God do that? Well, because God knew that he was going to one day lead some men to sit down and take the Bible and translate it into the English language. Well, why would God do that? Well, because today in 2014, just about everybody in the world knows English. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, if you want to believe in a Big Bang theory because some professor said that he saw space dust and that proves it. Now, he didn't go out there and gather up space dust. He just took a picture of it from millions of miles away. But he said this proves that there is no God. Or if you want to look at the wings of butterflies and see the hand of God in putting the English alphabet clearly and distinctly on the backs of the wings, you choose which you want to go with. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God. Folks, those pictures that these atheist scientists say proved the Big Bang did not prove anything except that there is an omnipotent, immutable God who deserves all the praise and glory that man can give him. That's all that proves. And make no mistake about it. All of this is happening in our country today with the design to discourage your heart. The devil doesn't want even a one of us with a burning heart for God and for his truth. And if we are going to keep the light of the glorious gospel shining, we're going to have to make sure that we do not allow the devil to use any of his wiles against us to put the fire out in our hearts. In the book of Acts, it was a burning heart that spread the gospel around the world. It was a burning heart that started the Reformation over in Europe. It was a burning heart that caused people to leave Europe and come to America and establish a Christian nation. And the only thing that will preserve this country today is for some Christians to get the fire of God back in their hearts and start burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second thing I want you to see. It is the gospel. It is the word of God. Gos, God, spell, word, God's word, the gospel, God's word. It is the gospel that makes our hearts burn within us. It's the gospel. Folks, I want you to notice the circumstances surrounding these two and their burning hearts. All right, put your thinking caps on now. Think with me. It was not by learning that which was new that got their hearts burning. It was not by learning that which was new, but it was a new interpretation of the old that got their hearts burning. You see, these two disciples were not ignorant of the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the Bible. I'll guarantee you, all good Jewish boys grew up and learned the Bible. They were raised up on the scriptures. From the time they were little children, they gathered around their father's knees and they listened as he read for them and told them the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Daniel. They, like all good Jewish boys, they knew the Old Testament scriptures from front to back. You see, they weren't like kids today. A biblical and adults. They weren't like we are today, a biblically ignorant society. No, they weren't like that. I guarantee you they knew every word of Jeremiah. They had heard it expounded dozens of times in the synagogue. When the rabbi announced his text that he was going to preach on that morning, these men, these boys, did not have to go to the index in front of their Torah to find out what page that book was on. No, they knew their Bibles. They were familiar with all of the Old Testament scriptures. And what the Lord did, what he did, was he gave them the familiar. He gave them that which they knew. And what the Lord, what did the Lord do when he met with them? Well, he took them to the book they had studied all their lives. He turned to the pages that they knew like the back of their hand. And he led them down the familiar, the old familiar text, but he showed them such depth of meaning and showed them in the familiar such a depth of love, and he shined the light upon prophetic mystery and illumined every promise with his glorious light. Amazing. Amazing. And nothing he looked at them with was new. Nothing. It was all the old familiar scriptures. But when they saw in those old verses that they were about him, by the new interpretation of the old, their hearts began to burn within them as they walked in the way. Now, folks, think about it. Does not our Savior act like this with us when he begins to make our hearts burn? You know, when I was a kid, I mean, a little kid, I was taken to Sunday school and church. We went to Colfort Methodist Church, and I have vague memories of sitting in that old church building. I have vague memories of sitting in that Sunday school class. We went to the Nazarene Church, and I have memories of being in that church. We went to Spring Fork Baptist Church. Glenn Matthews' daddy was the pastor of Spring Fork Baptist. I didn't know Glenn, of course. But his daddy was the pastor of that church. So you know I heard the gospel there. But I never got saved. But I heard the gospel. And you know, the amazing thing, my mom and dad and my grandfather used to talk about it all the time. When I heard the Bible, when I heard about David and about Daniel and about Jacob and all, as a little guy, when I heard those stories, I knew them. I knew them. And my grandfather used to be amazed. He'd say, well, ask him. He probably knows. And they would ask me the question, and I generally knew where to find the story. But I was not saved yet. I did not get saved until I was 16 years of age. But I heard. But one day I went to church as a teenager, as a 16-year-old rebellious teenager. And I went to church to appease my mother's wrath. And as I sat in the church service that morning, the preacher got up and preached the old familiar story of Jesus and his love. But man, I knew that story. I knew it. It was old. It was familiar. But that Sunday morning that I stepped out and walked down the aisle and got on my knees, that was the day when I finally realized that, wait a minute, this getting saved thing is a personal relationship that I have with God, where I put my faith and trust in Him for my salvation. And when I got saved, boy, a new fire took off in my heart. The next morning at school, I said to my best friend, Tom, I went to church yesterday. He said, yeah, I tried to get a hold of you. I wondered where you were. I said, I went to church. I said, Tom, guess what? I got saved. He said, saved from what? I said, well, hell, I guess. And I said, you sorry dog, you need to get saved too. And he said, well, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, well, I don't blame you. It's an awful place. And he said, well, how do I get saved? And I said, well, I'm not sure I can explain it all to you right now, but we're having a youth activity Friday night, and the youth pastor can explain it to you. So Tom came to the activity, and then he heard the gospel, and the youth pastor led Tom to Christ with me standing behind him with my hand on his shoulder. Oh, he got a fire burning in my heart. It got me excited. But it was not anything new. It was the old. But I just understood the new in the light of Jesus. And folks, that's exactly what happened to you, wasn't it? Oh, many of you, you went to church all your life. Your mother and dad, they dragged you here and they dragged you there. You went in kicking and screaming, but you went. But then one day someone explained to you how simple it is to receive Christ as your Savior. And you put two and two together and found out, wow. And man, when you got saved, a fire started burning in your heart. But then I got to thinking about this. What set their hearts burning was not just the word of the Lord, but it was the Christ who was behind the word. The Christ who was behind the word. It was the Christ who is the word, who explained the word. It was their immediate contact with Him, His personality, His power, His life reaching out and touching their lives and impacting them to their very depths. You see, not only did they know the word, but they knew the word, the one who is the word. The Bible says, and He talked with them in the way. And when they heard Him and saw His person, that's when their hearts began to burn. Now, many of you, listen carefully to me now, I'm almost done. Many of you have been saved a long time. You've been saved a long time. You've been fighting the battle for the Lord for years and years. And as you sit here this morning, you can remember a time when your heart burned for the Lord. You can remember that time. Maybe it was back when you first got saved. And maybe it was when you signed up and took the Soul Winners Club, and then you started winning your loved ones, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your children. You started leading your loved ones to Christ. Maybe your heart was burning when your children were in the formative years of their lives and you were just losing yourself in making sure that they turned out decent people who knew the Lord as well. But now, through the years, over time, this has happened and that has happened. And then you had that illness. And then you had this complication in your life. And things have just kept mounting upon you until you sit here this morning with a heart that the fire has been extinguished. It's just not burning like it once was. Could I ask you this morning to simply look at yourself and ask, what has happened to my burning heart? Folks, let me tell you something. Carroll County needs a church whose members are burning for God. Your lost loved ones need you with a heart that is burning for God. How are we going to make an impact for God in Westminster unless we have a church full of folks whose hearts are burning as they walk with Him in the way? If you're here this morning and you've lost your spiritual heartburn, I want to challenge you this morning to leave your seat and make your way to the front. You can sit on the front pew, you can stand, you can kneel at the altar, whatever you want to do. But would you just ask the Lord to give you your fire back? How our hearts did burn. Man, I think somewhere along the way we've lost that burning heart.